From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, will disclosure ever come? We'll find out. Stephen Bassett joins us. Here's what's happening. The leader of an Oregon Indian tribe said that the armed protesters occupying an Oregon wildlife refuge should go home. The protesters have no right to this land, Charlotte Rodriguez says. It belongs to the native people who live here. Rodriguez, the tribal chairperson of the Burns Paiute, said the tribe used land is now part of the wildlife refuge. She accused the occupiers of desecrating sacred sites. Now, the occupation leader, Amon Bundy, and his group, Citizens for Constitutional Freedom, took over the refuge on Saturday. The conflict started as a peaceful protest in support of two local ranchers sent to prison for setting fires on federal land. Bundy, a Nevada rancher, and more than a dozen supporters say they will not leave until Dwight and Steve Hammond are freed from federal prison. The Obama administration's best-case scenario for political transition in Syria does not foresee Bashar Assad stepping down as the country's leader before March of 2017, outlasting President Obama's presidency by several months, according to a new document. Among the several dozen Pakistani and Afghan men who have entered the U.S. illegally, coming into San Diego from Tijuana, two were found to have had ties to terrorist groups, according to a letter sent by U.S. Representative Duncan Hunter to the Department of Homeland Security. Just how bad is this situation? Let's check in with Craig Hewlett, of course. Craig, this situation here, is it as bad as we think it is?
I think it's a lot worse than we're going to be told for some time. And I got an interesting email after you and I discussed this very thing the last time we talked.
Yeah.
And the writer asked, if we changed our foreign policy, which was my argument, which is the reason we have terrorism coming to America, if we changed our foreign policy, would that have any effect? And I thought it was a great question, because it's also a good question, because no, it's too late to change our foreign policy. Nothing's going to change it. And we're going to see more terrorism coming to America. There will be more incidents like San Bernardino. But here's a peculiar part of the question also. At the same time, the American people are facing terrorist threats on our soil against us personally. We have a president that wants to disarm the American people.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's unbelievable. Craig, I've got about 25 emails from people who want you on for a couple hours. So get a hold of Lisa before I do, and let's set you up, okay?
Will do.
Thanks. Craig Hewlett, of course. Great guest on Coast to Coast. The world reacted with outrage and skepticism after North Korea claimed that it had successfully tested a miniaturized hydrogen bomb. Now, this bomb is supposed to be way more powerful than what was used in Hiroshima and Nagasaki during World War II. Charles R. Smith is an expert on technology and the implications for war and terrorism. Charles, we've talked about North Korea with you for some time now. Did they or did they not detonate a hydrogen bomb?
I would say the indications are that no, they did not. It was not nearly as powerful as would be required. You know, a hydrogen bomb, usually the minimum yield would be somewhere in the megaton range. This case, it was probably a fairly small uranium-style bomb, but it appears that it also is what they refer to as a tritium enhanced, which is sort of a precursor for attempting to build a hydrogen bomb. So they are progressing.
Is Kim Jong-un, is he, you know, like playing with fire here?
Oh, no. He's actually playing with an export toy. You can pretty much guarantee that the Iranians and the Pakistanis were sitting up and taking notice. And very, very clearly, the North Koreans have been working for a long time with Iran on both nuclear as well as missile technology. So, you know, this is probably just a birthday blast for Kim Jong-un. He turns 33 on the 8th.
Now, and answer this one for us too, Charles. How could we be going after Iran, not wanting them to have nukes, and that's probably justified, of course, not having them to want them, but we let North Korea do it? How did that happen?
Pretty much the same way that we're letting Iran do it. We declare that we have signed a piece of paper with these guys and that we should trust them, and then they go out and do it after taking our money and or exchanging whatever. And in the case of the Iranians, they'll be getting hundreds of billions of dollars very shortly. So I'm pretty sure with their new cash sitting in the old bank account, they're going to be doing some shopping. So I would thoroughly expect to see a North Korean bomb developed in North Korea, which wouldn't violate any agreements because, of course, if they buy one and put one on top of one of their own missiles, they can say, hey, we didn't make this. We just bought it.
Charles' website, softwar.net. Go up and take a look at it. It's always worth looking at the material that Charles posts. Congress sent an Obamacare repeal bill to the president's desk for the first time, marking an election year victory of sorts for Republicans who have tried since 2010 to scrap the law, the bill repealing most of President Obama's signature health care law, was approved in a final 240-181 House vote Wednesday afternoon after clearing the Senate late last year. The legislation also would strip federal funding for Planned Parenthood. The president will undoubtedly veto it. Chipotle has been served with a federal grand jury subpoena as part of a criminal investigation tied to a dangerous norovirus outbreak this summer at one of its restaurants in California. The subpoena requires the company to produce a broad range of documents tied to the restaurant in Simi Valley, California. The investigation is being conducted by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Central District of California in conjunction with the FDA. U.S. equity markets extended steep losses after Chinese data delivered yet another blow to global markets and oil prices plunged. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 251 points. Already the Chinese market, because it's early there now, has been halted after stocks dropped 5% already. Catherine Austin Fitz with us. Catherine, is this the beginning of the slide?
Well, the markets are jittery, George. There's no doubt about it. If you look at the charts from last year, they said deflation. You know, we started the year well with the Chinese market and the German market almost up 30%. But everything ended down. Even the S&P was down less than a percentage, but still down. The only thing that did well last year, believe it or not, was very short-term, intermediate, high-quality sovereign bonds. So, you know, essentially it basically said cash. And so I think people are pretty jittery, and there have been a lot of speed bumps. You know, there's too much dirty tricks, too much violence, getting surprised. You know, when European money managers got surprised by Volkswagen, or think about it this way, if you're the coal companies, we had four really large coal companies, George. One is bankrupt, and three of them had stocks down 77% to 95%. So you have a lot of change in the air. People are jittery, and I think my expectation is things are settled down by the end of the month, or certainly in the first 2 months of the year. But you know, we're going to have to see a lot more cooperation in the global economy because investors are nervous.
Hey, Catherine, how low can oil go? I mean, people are still driving, they're still pumping gasoline. What's going on?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Part of it is clearly a global slowdown. Part of it is the contribution that fracking technology and increased U.S. Sort of self-sufficiency has happened. I think part of it is there's a concerted effort to get to keep the supply coming, to drop the price. Sort of, you know, it's the oil card play against Russia. So part of it is our squabble with Russia. But here's the reality: the solar industry expects to reach parity in 2020. And, you know, there's lots of hints that Breakthrough Energy may finally peek through the black budget and make it into, you know, applied technology in the economy. If that happens, we're going to see a real shift in the energy model.
What is new at Solari.com?
Well, I'm excited, George, and much of it is a credit to you and the Coast to Coast team. We're about to publish our annual wrap-up. You know, it's our big production of the year.
And I love it.
You can see the poster at Solari.com. It's got a picture of sort of Johnny Rocket and his rocket ship, and it says, space, here we go.
All right, you keep in touch with us, all right?
Okay.
Catherine Austin Fitz, a former Coast to Coast guest, and, of course, the personality on Howard Stern's SiriusXM radio show, has died. Nice guy, funny guy, Riley Martin. And when he was on with me, gosh, a long time ago when I was just starting Coast to Coast, I mean, he was cracking everybody up in the studio. One of a kind guy. He was 69 years old. They haven't really announced his cause of death, but Riley Martin, you know his name. He is dead at the age of 69. Up next, the Merlin Project, back again, and what a time for it. Paul Gersio and Dr. George Hart, next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. Dr. George Hart, of course, is a Star Wars physicist, specializes in the application of supercomputers, and he teamed together with Paul Gersio, the nationally respected futurist, and together they put the Merlin Project together. I'll have Paul quickly describe what that is to those of you who are brand new. But I got to tell you, I cannot think of a more timely moment to get Paul and George on the program to talk about these time tracks and what is going on with our entire planet. Let's say hi to Dr. George Hart, first of all. Hey, George, welcome back.
Great to be back with you, George. Happy New Year.
You too, my friend. I'm looking forward to this. And the very respected futurist, Mr. Paul Gersio, joins us again. Hey, Paul.
Good to talk to you, George. You know, you were absolutely right. We almost couldn't have picked a better week or month, even, to have scheduled time to talk to you on the air, because with what's been going on financially and in China, the situation with the North Korea just today, we were pulling out. In fact, I sent you earlier tonight a couple of time tracks on North Korea that we had actually done on the air 3 years ago.
That's right.
And
that's
said
right.
that Kim Jong-un was about to, you know, sort of stretch his wings a little. If you look at the time track, you notice that we're on the row, the bottom row of that time track, and look at what's going on.
I know. He's not finished for the next few years. This is interesting.
And if your listeners want to, look at some of these, Lex has been good enough to put them up on the website. If they go to your search engine and just type in Merlin time tracks, they will get this list. And one of the time tracks on there is Kim Jong-un, and they can look at it themselves. They can see what we were seeing 3 years ago on your show and saying, you know, he's about to become a real trouble person, and here it now is.
And here he is. Okay, give us a quick description, Paul, of Merlin and what it does.
It's Merlin is very hard to quickly describe. It's a little bit like... if you could turn time into kind of symphonies of music, and each moment of time produced its own particular pages of symphony with highs and lows and the movements that symphonies go through and so on, George has taken my theory, which I've been sort of walking around with for now almost half a century.
Wow.
And, yeah, right.
Wow.
It's getting old! He was capable of turning this, with the help of a bunch of STI guys back in the late 80s, early 90s, of turning it into a computer program that can actually produce visual pictures in graphical form of what a moment of time is going to look like and what it's going to look like over the next, say, several years. So we can see where in the future there's going to be some kind of abrupt change in the ongoing tempo of things. And while we can't tell whether that change is going to be a good one, so for instance, in the case of North Korea, this could have been the period of time where they joined the human race.
Well, I'm looking at these time tracks that you sent us on Kim. And I remember, you taught me how to read these things. It looks like for the next several years, this guy's going to be in the news quite a bit.
I would think so.
Yeah.
And it's just beginning.
It's just beginning.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's unfortunate. And the way things are going, one would suppose that we're not going to get out of this entire period without some kind of conflict going on. I think, George, would you agree with that?
In too many parts of the world right now, we're set up for what looks like the opening movements of a next world war. The situation in North Korea, we've got Syria and Saudi Arabia and Iran really ready to go at each other's throats. What Saudi Arabia did this weekend with the mass executions, particularly of that Shia cleric,
yeah,
were intentionally provocative. And we've got a global currency war raging with all kinds of dislocations like what we're seeing tonight in China. These things typically do not end well.
George, in a war directly with Saudi Arabia and Iran, without any intervention by us, I'm going to qualify that because I think we would get involved. Who do you think would win between just those two nations?
Quite possibly Iran.
I think so too.
Almost 20 years, they've been testing missile after missile, which they have essentially directly gotten from North Korea. They changed the name of the missile, but it's the same missile. And the North Koreans have done an awful lot of the tunnel digging for Iran so that they can have their nuclear production facilities. Now the real question becomes, on the black market, has North Korea directly provided Iran with nuclear weapons? So they don't even have to wait to build their own. It's a war that I'm afraid Saudi Arabia might find a number of other countries might well align with Iran because they're sick and tired of Saudi Arabia's kamikaze attack on the world global oil price, which is bringing not only Venezuela and Nigeria and many other countries down.
And Russia.
Even bringing other countries down because they cannot balance their budgets with oil at $33 a barrel. It might shock your listeners, it shocked me to discover this weekend, that the credit default swaps, a term we all became too familiar with in 2008,
mm-hmm.
for Saudi Arabia, put the chances of a default on their own bonds at 1 in 6 in the next 5 years.
That's pretty high.
It's shockingly high for a country we thought was so wealthy.
That's right.
But they're in kind of a suicide mode now in what is heating up in the Middle East.
Spending money like crazy. And Paul, when George talks and when you talk, do you two collaborate where you agree on the interpretation of the time tracks, Paul?
Well, most of the time. There have been a few occasions over the coming up on 30 years that we've been together that it got a little ugly. I think during the run-up to the to Bush 2's invasion of Iraq, we were on absolute opposite sides of the fence. George was convinced that they were weapons of mass destruction and the whole mm-hmm. 9 yards. You know, and he was very well plugged into this because he was able to view some of the security information that the rest of us didn't get a chance to see, and was convinced that it was all legit. I was completely convinced that it was fabricated, that Saddam Hussein was just, you know, pulling a Donald Trump on us with a lot of hot air flying around, and that they were going to get in there and not going to find anything. So here we were having to do shows like yours. You got to remember, that was in the spring of 2003 when you started on this show. And that was the spring that we were sitting around trying to figure out how we could get on a show and not yell at each other. Now, thankfully, that's been the exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
But there have been times when we've had that kind of thing going on and we had to come up with something that we could both agree to. And what we agreed to then was, well, if Bush invades Iraq and starts a war there, they better get this thing done in the first 6 or 8 weeks, or it's going to drag on for maybe till 2011, which is what we said on your show
the
air at the time when everybody thought we were crazy. I mean, Bush was announcing mission accomplished, you know, in May, so what, maybe 6 weeks after the invasion originally happened and so on. And we're looking at this time track that basically goes on and on
and on. And it still goes on.
And that's, well, it sort of petered out in 2011, but there's a pickup. It's a little bit like in 2014, you asked us, you know, you guys haven't seen any 9/11s lately, have you? Well, for several years, we hadn't seen anything that gave that kind of impression.
That's right. Stay with us, Paul and George. We'll be back with more. We're going to talk about some of the candidates. We have to do that. You won't believe what you're going to hear next. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Paul Gersio and Dr. George Hart. Now, if you get up to coasttocoastam.com, take a look at the highlight reel of the time tracks that Paul and George have sent to Lex. And we have posted all kinds of items there, including, of course, North Korea, which we've just talked about. We're going to get involved in the presidential candidates in a second. You can follow along with us and look at these time tracks. And talking about apps, Paul, you have an app for time tracks for Merlin, don't you?
Yes, and before we get to the political thing, let me also finish my explanation. There's something that's very important to mention here, and I'll get to the app in just a second.
Sure.
The reason we conveniently that Kim Jong-un is in the news this week is because when you look at his time track, and it's not his time track, it's a picture of a moment of time into which he arrived. So he and other people who were born on the same day, at the same hour, in the same minute, also have this time track. And events that occurred on that day, in that hour, and minute, have this time track. So if you opened a business that day, or you had surgery done that day, or whatever, took a plane flight that day, this is a snapshot of that moment of time, and you can see from looking at it, and we could see this back in 2013 when we first gave it to you, that coming up in the years that we're now in, things were going to get very interesting, and very interesting for a number of years, so that this was going to have what George and I like to call legs. It was a lasting set of circumstances that were going to be very dramatic relative to what was previously going on. Now, if you take a look at line two of this time track, or line one of it, it's clearly obvious that those lines of activity don't even compare to this bottom line, which not only goes on for like 5 or 6 years, but at a tempo that's extraordinarily high in comparison to what was previously going on. Well, this guy basically came into the public's attention not much more than 3 or 4 years ago. He was around, and then his father died, but this is his time. Well, every moment of time has a picture like this, and this week looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
If we posted this week instead of his time track, you would see something just like this going on. The only difference is it would be on the top line,
right?
Because we'd be doing this week, not next, not 6 years from now or 12 years from now, but right now. And it would look very much like this, so that we knew coming into this week that there were going to be major news events going on of an extraordinary nature that were going to have international attention directed to them, unlike other things that might be going on normally. And it's interesting that your executive producer is now using our time tracks, the app that you were just mentioning, to work with when she's busy doing some side work, having in this case to do with some sort of property movement, and was telling me that there's a torrential rain going on and there's a leak in the window, and it's not gonna go exactly the way she thought it was. Well, you would have expected those kinds of things to be going on a week like this. Now, the app that we have, which is nothing short of extraordinary, allows you to generate a picture of what a moment of time, the one you're in, or one that was going on last year, or one that's going on 5 years from now, and what the progression of activity is likely to be from that moment forward. So if you're looking for a moment to start a business or on the other hand, find a nice quiet moment to go and have elective surgery done, the time track allows you to find those moments by working backwards to see what they looked like previously or what time is going to look like around the corner. And and then pick your moments with some care. Now, what I think even Dr. Hart had a problem with originally with this idea is you could go back and find a date in the past and generate a line to see what that was going to look like over the next 20 years, let's say. But to go looking into the future to find an activity picture that was perhaps going to produce a line of activity speculatively, and you were picking that moment to start some sort of project or whatever it is, because it was going to look like that, was a whole other concept. And that's now become available with these apps.
It's amazing. It really is.
It is. And I don't know whether you've actually gotten one on your phone yet to do it. I was amused, pleasantly amused, to find out that Lisa had loaded one on hers and was now using it.
She did it some time ago.
Well, I didn't know that, though.
I think she tries to look at my time track with it. Should I give him this guest this week? You know, that kind of.
Well, you really would get a tremendous amount of benefit from learning how to do this on your own and not just be able to look at Kim Jong-un's and see when things are going to get hot and crazy, but what's going on for you, because you've got a very busy time track going on. We talked about it a year or two ago.
Yeah, a couple years ago.
And I thought you were going to load this on. And you may have loaded it on, just not told us. But that's what this thing allows the public to be able to do. You are walking around when you have this.
See, I was afraid if I told you I had it, you'd track me. So I'm very private.
You don't need to tell me to do that. I can do that without you telling me.
I know that.
Okay. And people around you and things going on in the business. And I can go back to your start date on Coast to Coast and see what the progression of where the changes were. And I remember that when we first did the show in 03, we told you that there were going to be some additional changes with some opportunities coming along, and then they did.
Pop. Yep. So true. So how can people get the apps?
Well, it's like everything else with Apple and Google.
In the store. Okay.
But
you better spell out time tracks for people, Paul.
Okay. It's TIME. TRAKS.
That's right.
There's no C, but there's an S. TIME TRAKS. You got to get the spelling right, or God knows where they'll say.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You get something else.
There's a million two or a million five or something, just I think on Apple at this one, or maybe it's bigger than that. In any case, every phone and tablet has an icon that if you tap on it, it will take you to their particular app store. So the iPhone, for instance, iPhone 6 has a thing that says App Store. You tap on it, you go to the App Store, and you search for the word Time Tracks, TIME TRAKS, and you'll know you're in the right place because it will say Merlin by George Hart. You'll know that that's the right one. And what you do is you sign up to try this out for a week. It's a 99-cent one-week trial. And then after that week is over, you can then buy this thing for a month or 6 months or a year, whatever it is. Personally, I recommend you do it for a year because it's so cheap, it's almost laughable. But Apple has made going in and renewing this thing every month or every 6 weeks or whatever it is such a pain that you'd be smarter not to go through the aggravation of doing that. I don't know why they've made it so difficult. They didn't want to be a traffic cop or a checkout counter. They didn't want to do that. So they wanted everybody to buy these apps one time. You pay once for it. They never hear from you again. You never have to go there again. We didn't do that. We set it up so you could buy it depending upon what you wanted to have in terms of time. And that changes the whole procedure. It makes it more complicated and causes a lot of problems for us in getting these things all straightened out. But once you have it on there, I guarantee it, you go to a business meeting, somebody makes a proposal that might involve your job, they all leave, you get an extra cup of coffee, and you sit there and you run the time track. And, you know, the funny thing is, you can look at that and say, well, this opportunity that they're presenting isn't going anywhere now. But 4 or 5 years from now,
you see the spike.
Back to these people, this thing's going to shift around, and there's going to be some opportunities then, and you'll be the only one who went to the meeting who knows that.
Yep, exactly. Now, let me ask you something about these candidates. Well, I'm not going to go through all of them. Folks, you can get that by going to the website. Paul and George have given us every candidate you can imagine. So look at their time tracks. But I want to break it down, and let's talk about the Democrats first, Paul and George. And it looks like there are some that take off 4 to 8 years from now, like Lincoln Chafee, Martin O'Malley, even Jim Webb, Andrew Cuomo. They seem to be strong 4 to 8 years from now. So something's up with them. But just looking at Bernie Sanders and Hillary, they both seem pretty equal still. That surprises me. What would you say about that, Paul? Then you, George.
Well, when I ran everybody and then looked at everybody, I was astonished because Bernie Sanders had the best time track of anybody running at all on either side.
Yeah, he's still staying strong.
And the thing is, I dismissed that because they said, well, Bernie, you know, it can't be Bernie. And we had already come down saying that we didn't think Hillary was going to be the candidate or was going to win the election if she was the candidate. So that left me with, you know, maybe Joe Biden jumping in, which he decided not to do, or Bernie, because Bernie had a much better time track than O'Malley or Hillary,
mm-hmm.
and still does. So George and I had a discussion about that yesterday, about knowing we had to talk to you about it, and we still have to agree that Bernie has the best time track. Now, whether that makes sense or not, it didn't make any sense several years ago when we counted Hillary out when she was the anointed person.
Yeah.
And we know what then happened.
Exactly.
So, you know, she could get ill. She could come down with something that she, or be diagnosed with something
sure.
she didn't know she had. There could be some kind of other situation developing. There could be some other scandal. I mean, it is the Clintons we're talking about here. So there's still possibly something getting in the way. But it still looks like it's Hillary and Bernie, and Bernie's got the better time track.
What do you say about that, George?
Here's where time tracks can be really useful. If you take the date of the Benghazi incident, September 11, 2012, and with an app, you run that date, you discover that it erupts in activity in March of 2016. The Benghazi hearings are still going on in Washington. We've got in a week or two the movie 13 Hours coming out. It's not out of the question that a real fire could be relit underneath that issue. And that could be very embarrassing once public attention is really refocused on that question. Some of the military special operators involved in that fight have been on TV quite a bit lately. So that's one thing there. The other thing which is unfortunate on the Democratic candidates is that there are some really high-energy candidates that perhaps should have been involved in this year, like Tulsi Gabbard, the congresswoman from Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
who is a really independent voice in the Democratic Party with a remarkably strong time track right now. She's in April 12, 1981, that isn't getting a chance to get visibility because Hillary sucks all the air out of the room in the same way that Donald Trump does.
Yeah.
This is a very strange campaign.
It is.
It's altogether likely that on the way into New Hampshire, things may erupt for both Hillary and Donald that upend them.
Well, you know, just looking at the time tracks, I cannot pick a winner between Hillary and Bernie Sanders in terms of a nominee. Without the time tracks, I would have said Hillary's going to get it. But looking at the time tracks, I can't pick between the two. Can you, Paul?
I would pick Bernie.
You would. And,
just because I've learned over 30 years now of doing these that if you discount them, you end up getting, you know, egg in the face.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of having that happen. Thankfully, we haven't put those out on the air too many times and gotten caught by them. But they're there, and ones that we said, oh, well, that can't possibly happen, you know, and then it does. So I would have to go with Bernie, as unlikely as that seems. I don't think George is going to agree with me with that, but still in all, that's where I would place it. And with the GOP, you know, actually one of the people that had a pretty good time track and dropped out was Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
And I thought Lindsey dropped out too soon.
Yeah, he should have consulted with you.
Well, some people have, but not Lindsey. And none of the people in this particular.
All right. Well, let's get George's take on the Democrats, and then time permitting, we'll get into the Republicans and finish up with them next hour with some phone calls. George, are you with me in that Bernie and Hillary? It's close.
It's close. I would tonight, given some of the things that are going on as we speak, would be more inclined to go with Paul's sense that Bernie might have much more of a good shot than you'd ever guess. And what I mean by that is that while we're on air, the Dow futures are down about another 300 points.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough day tomorrow.
It's China has collapsed tonight. The other thing happening tonight of interest to you, your listeners, and some of your sponsors is that gold has stuck its nose above 1,100.
Well, that and silver will go too.
Yes, and what all of this could be talking about is a year where economic disruption is so intense of the summer of 2008 that Bernie Sanders' campaign could get an afterburner strapped on it, where we could have market collapses, bond defaults. One of the side effects, in fact, it's actually a direct effect of what Saudi Arabia had in mind, of their attack on fracking and the price of oil, is that a large number of American oil drillers are likely to go bankrupt this year, and their bonds become worthless. We could see another bond collapse, but this time it won't be mortgage bonds. It will be the bonds that floated oil drilling in the United States. That could be a nuclear exchange of financial weapons.
And who would have ever thought of that, George?
These last 2 years are unprecedented, fascinating to watch, scary to live through.
Absolutely.
And bet on.
Paul, give out your website before we get to the break here, and then we'll come back and talk about the Republicans and take some phone calls.
Okay, the website is projectmerlin.com, easy to find. And timetracks.org. So Merlin is it's projectmerlin.com and timetracks.org. And you can also find us on Facebook at the Merlin Project Research Group. We're on TimeTracks at TimeTracks. And as we said earlier, this app, which is once you get this and start paying attention to it, you're not going to want to be without it.
You're hooked.
I'm telling you right now.
You're hooked. Okay, we're going to come back and talk about the Republican candidates. So you'll find this fascinating as well. And we'll take your phone calls with Paul Gursio and Dr. George Hart next on Coast to Coast AM.